106 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. Check in with our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, in just a little bit. Right now, welcoming back onto the air, Attorney General, Senator. I know I'm supposed to properly call him Attorney General Sessions, but it's always been a thing here. It's an old habit, die hard. So, Senator Sessions, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good. Thank you, Sean. It's good to be with you and talk to our friends and neighbors in Mobile. It's a great, great, great community, and a lot of good things are happening. I'm proud of Mayor Stimson and proud of Bradley Byrne. He ran a great race in this last election and got a good number of votes. By the way, Tommy Tumbrell only got 10% of the vote in Mobile County. I think a little 11 or 12 in Baldwin. Nearly 90% of the people did not vote for him there. So our election, our turnout will be critical this time. I'll urge my people and friends, many who liked Bradley also, to vote for me, turn out, and we'll win this election.
I think that is important, and I always love talking policy and ideas with you, but we'll get real pragmatic here. All right, so the 31st is the primary. Yeah, the people that that came out to vote for you the first time, obviously you need those folks to show back up. But you mentioned Bradley Byrne. He had while Tupperville didn't do much here at all, but Bradley Byrne had significant shares of the votes in Mobile and Baldwin County. How do you address those people specifically and tell them, you know, they need to come back out to the poll, even though the person they voted for in the primary is not on the ballot?
Well, we just have a lot of common friends. People knew me over the years, but Bradley had been the congressman from the first district for a number of years. People knew him, and he's a hardworking. He was capable. He knew the issues out there. He didn't have much knowledge of name ID upstate, and I think that hurt him. But I would just say that the people of South Alabama, first district, are correct. Who is Tommy Tumbrell? Why did he have such little support? Does he know anything about the 4,000 people that work at Austell, that I was there at the beginning and nurtured that program through the Armed Services Committee even before it ever planned to come to Mobile or Airbus, and all the battles we had over that, the oil spill, BP oil spill, getting that Beach Express through Baldwin County, job training programs that I helped advance and supported, the Coast Guard and Batesville. All of that is also a big part of what a senator does. I know that. I know the people. I know the people involved in Mobile counties. I'm asking them for their vote. I will not fail them. I'll be effective as I have in the past, and I'll also be a voice for the great issues of our day, whether it's taxes, regulations, immigration, trade, that Tommy Tumbrell is certainly wrong on. What he said about trade, said about immigration, that's the position of the big business Republicans who undermined ending the lawlessness. He just does not understand the importance of that.
Now, let me ask something here from the text line. This is from Chuck in Alberta. Says, how does a guy, Tommy Tupperville, who lives in Florida, run for office in Alabama? Anyway, so those are the ads running. Let's talk about this. Explain this question.
Well, and he toyed with running for governor. He acknowledged residency would be a problem. After that, we have this video up running of him moving to his $4 million house on the Santa Rosa Beach in Florida. He said he's hanging up his whistle. And that appeared to be, and he claimed in 2018, he claimed homestead on his house in Florida. Now, he does have property in Alabama, so I suspect he switched. I believe last year he wouldn't produce his driver's license. Perhaps it was a Florida license, most likely. So you can move your residence, I suppose, but I think it just raises questions. Who is Tommy Tumbrell? In his whole 65 years, Sean, we've not found him to have taken any firm position on any public policy. People like Bobby Bowden and Lou Holtz and Bobby Knight, they've all been coaches who have issues of speaking out on issues. He's done nothing. He's supported no conservative candidate. He's not indicated publicly that he's a Republican, even. So I don't. We have many questions about him, and I think the residency, we've had a little fun with it. I think it's kind of a funny ad, but it raises this question: who is he? Do we want to launch him to Washington? Is he going to speak for us? He's not done so before. He's now ducking a debate. Is he not going to debate Chuck Schumer or Elizabeth Warren in the Senate? Is he going to stay in his office? I mean, you've got to, it's one thing to say you're tough, run an ad to say you're tough, to yell at the umpires on the football field. It's another thing to take them on day after day after day with good arguments and honest arguments and defeat them, as I have done many times in the Senate.
We have a news headline this morning running from our news partners at WKRG that says their parent company, Nexstar, had invited you and Tommy Tuberville to a debate, and that I guess looks like Tommy Tuberville won't debate. Are you? I mean, you said you're in, right?
Right. We told Nexstar, which is a good outlet because you've got reach around the state, probably the best place, one of the best TV venues you could have. We said yes. We conveyed that, and then we've been told that he rejected it. Well, he and his handlers, let me just say it plainly, are afraid. They are afraid that he does not have the gravitas and the knowledge sufficient to justify Alabama sending him to the United States Senate. I mean, this is a no little matter. You've got to defend the interest of the state of Alabama, like I just mentioned here in Mobile, the things that we need, the entire state. I bet he's never been to our huge and important military bases. I've been to every one of them multiple times. I know the history of every one of them. You got Austell, you got Fort Rucker in southeast Alabama, you got Maxwell Gunter Annex in Montgomery, the Anniston Army Depot in Anniston. You've got the air wing, this huge National Guard, and a massive, massive technology of missiles and defense programs in Huntsville. Some of the highest tech places in the world are there. So I just would say, what does he know about that? He's never served in the military. I served in the Army Reserve for 10 years. He's never served in the military. He's never been to these bases. This is all impactful on how well you can defend our interests. The chairman of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate, Jim Inhofe, has come to Alabama for me. He's endorsed me. He wants me back on his committee, and that's what I'd love to do. So these are things that I know, and I'm able to do now. And I support President Trump, and I support his agenda. I'm not soft on immigration. I'm not soft on trade like Tommy Tuberville is. It's just fact.
All right. I want to, for a second here, this is a conversation you and I have had many times, Jeff, but the question of the importance of the Senate and with the what's hanging out there. By the way, y'all fill out your census form. I'll go on that rant later. But there's a chance we could be losing a congressional district. Already, limited by 7. Now we could go to 6. To me, that makes the stakes in the Senate even more important. We got to be able to have a voice there. The only place we'll get even standing.
Exactly. Look, you've talked about this, I know, but we cannot ever, 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 they'll do over my dead body, any elimination of the two senators and the electoral college to go on a strict population basis. You have these big cities on the coast that would be running America, taking us down the road to disaster. I'm totally opposed to that. But we do need to make sure we have a great count on this census. We do not need for Alabama to have one fewer conservative voice in Washington. Great Scott. This power is shifted too much already to the big urban centers.
I want to talk about the question about seniority, and this comes up every time you're on with me, but let's talk about it again, that it's you wouldn't return to the Senate with the seniority you left, but there is a nuance to you to being a freshman, right? Explain that to us.
Yeah, freshmen are ranked, too, based on seniority, and if you are a governor or a congressman before, you get more points. But being a 20-year senator, I'll clearly be the number one in my class. I get the first choice of my committees. In addition, I know the rules of the Senate and how to get things done in the Senate. Senator Shelby has been a great partner over the years. It's been so fabulous to work with him. He's the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, long considered the premier committee in the Congress. He's endorsed me. He supported me. Our partnership is effective for Alabama, so we can do that. I know the rules, and I know all the chairman of all the committees. So to take someone who's never been in any legislative body, who's sort of been used to being the total boss on the football field, to be one of 100, I don't think he's likely to find that very exciting, but certainly it'll be hard work to ever get back to the level that I could hit the ground day one running. I doubt he'll ever have the interest and drive on these issues that I've had in my career and would love to do again.
I know I'm looking on to the next step, but this was driven by, I think it was yesterday or maybe over the weekend, I heard folks talk about Democrat Senate chances around the country, and they were talking about Senator Doug Jones like it was going to be a close battle here in Alabama. I hadn't heard that talk before.
Well, they've raised so much money, Sean. Look, whoever finishes this primary is going to be will have left very little in the bank, and they'll be facing a candidate who's already raised probably $8 million in his bank account. I don't believe all the Republicans together spent $8 million on this primary race, and he'll be well armed. He'll have the most sophisticated pollsters and political gurus, and they'll spin the issues in every way possible. You need somebody, frankly, that understands it, can expose him. He is an advocate. He's a partner with Chuck Schumer. He wants Chuck Schumer to lead the United States Senate. This would be a disaster for America. If we give the Democrats and Schumer another vote, they get closer and closer to that event. He's voted against our judges. He's voted against Kavanaugh. And he now voted to remove President Trump from office. So a good candidate who knows how to take this issue to them, explain to the people of Alabama simply and clearly the danger that he would present to our values, can win this race. But if somebody's got something, hadn't been vetted, we don't really know how they stand. We've never seen them stand up in a debate, puts us at risk. I think for sure that I can win that race against Doug Jones. That I'm confident.
All right. Remind folks, too, before we wrap up here, that didn't vote, well, those that voted for you, obviously you're telling them to come back out for the runoff, but those that did not vote for you in the Republican primary, your message to them, once again, is what?
Look, I know our area of the state. I know the whole state. For almost 20 years, I went to every county in every year in Alabama. So I know Alabama. I came out of the soil of it in North Monroe County. I went to school there. My children went to school. My daughters went to school at Murphy's, son at St. Paul's, and played ball there. I just love Mobile, and it's been our place for so long. So I would say to the voters, I know many of you voted for very talented Bradley Byrne. I would ask you to vote for me, that I have faithfully represented you. You were proud of the service I've rendered. I have not changed. I know Mobile, I'll protect our interests, but I'll also be able to effectively fight and win on big issues like trade and immigration. Tommy Tuberville said he opposes President Trump's use of tariffs against China. I mean, that's the only way we can stop China's cheating, is to stand up to him. We have to be 100% behind President Trump. I was the first to endorse him. I believe in his agenda. I'll be the far more effective senator for helping him be successful in the Senate.
Jeff Sessions, thank you for your time this morning, and we'll talk to you again sometime between now and the 31st.
Thank you, Sean. It's great to chat with you and your listeners.
Thank you. Jeff Sessions joining us right here on Mobile Mornings. All right, coming back, we'll get some phone calls from you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Let's do that. Use like some instant reaction to what you just heard from Jeff Sessions. Yeah, We get other questions. You like it, don't like it, we'll talk about it. We get back. Plus, in the second half of the hour, Quinn Hillier will join us. We'll talk with him about, he said he has, you see that email? Wait. Coronavirus angle here. This should be interesting. Coming from Quinn. We'll talk about it.
He has an angle, not the coronavirus.
No, he does not have the coronavirus. Yeah, an angle. Yeah, thank you. Thank
good,
you.
Very good.
Six FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, and you. Let's go to the phones. And Cecil in Mobile is first up. Hey, Cecil.
Hey, thanks for taking me.
No problem.
I just got a little of the endorsement here. I know the senator, when he had to recuse himself as AG, I understand because it would have been a conflict of interest. I get that. I don't understand these other people out there. The other thing is, years ago, I had trouble with VA Choice. They prescribed a medicine that wasn't carried by the VA pharmacy. I was getting the runaround back and forth across town. I called the senator's office. 20 minutes later, Susan called me and told me to go pick up my meds. It took 20 minutes for the senator's office to resolve my issue.
Wow. It shouldn't be that way. It's good. Good on Jeff Sessions at that point, but it shouldn't be that way. We should work to fix that problem.
It was the beginning. They were issuing medicines from VA Choice that the VA pharmacy doesn't carry, and you can't issue a medicine unless it's prescribed. It was the runaround. I was going back and forth across town. I finally got fed up. I called the office, spoke to Susan. Took her 20 minutes to call me back.
Wow.
Because he's always got quality people working around him.
That's fast turnaround. If I could get that with anything else out there in life, it would be helpful. Cecil, thanks for the call. Hey, I'm going to read this text here. No, from unnamed texter. Because it dislikes everybody I've seen. Okay, so this one. No matter what Sessions says, he had a chance to protect Trump and was a turncoat as far as Trump is concerned. President Trump doesn't want Sessions on his team and has tweeted the message. This message, anyone that really supports Trump will not vote for Sessions. Trump has no respect for this man and will not favor Alabama for sending him back to the Senate. Well, first of all, look at President Trump backed Luther Strange as well. We saw what happens there. Mm-hmm. It happened there in Alabama. And, you know, if you go back and listen to the interviews I've had, you could disagree, but please at least go listen to the conversations I've had with Jeff Sessions about the recusal. You look at this, the people I know that are looking for if conservative as they can get, as you know, Trump-centric as they can get, there's a very solid argument to be made for the recusal. And so this thing that, you know, I'm not going to listen to that, the recusal was everything. Who is the better? Okay, let's just say this. Who would be the better ambassador for the ideas that President Trump has worked with? Maybe, just maybe, unnamed texter, the person that came up with those ideas in the first place. The person that for 8 years of Obama was talking about that Main Street populism, you know, to the world every night, you know, standing in the rotunda. So to say that, you know, and President Trump put one tweet out, and yeah, you're right. He's got his issues with Jeff Sessions, but what's best for Alabama? What's best for the Trump agenda? Because remember, Trump wins 4 more years. He eventually is not going to be there, right? He will be termed out. Who will be carrying that message going forward? Who's going to be carrying the Main Street populist message? Is that Tommy Tuberville or is that Jeff Sessions? So that's a question people got to ask themselves.
Yeah, it's also important for Republicans in Alabama, as far as they're concerned, who can beat Doug Jones. Now, a lot of people say that both of these candidates can beat Doug Jones, but would one have a easier time of it than the other? I think that's something a lot of people should be asking themselves also.
Right, and I think some people will choose, although it was, what, 10%? So the Tuberville fans say 10% in Mobile County, 12% in Baldwin County in the primary. Who mopped up here? Bradley Byrne mopped up in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, how will those voters, if they show back up March 31st, how will they vote? I think that's the big question. All right, news is next, and then Quinn Hillier joins us.
835 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Good morning.
Good morning. So tell us, what's going on at McConnell Automotive today?
We got a few things going on. I'm sitting here on line right now trying to buy a few cars down in Orlando. We've got some, we've got a few cheap cars here around. You know, if you're looking for something around $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, we've got that. Also got some up to $50,000. Got a couple of Denalis out there now. Got some Yukon XLs. Don't forget, we got 0% on those Mardi Gras trucks. You'll need to come get them with very few left. And don't forget about the certified. You know, I'm sitting there trying to buy in the certified lane right now. That gives you an extra 12 on the warranty. Plus, it bumps up the powertrain up to 100,000 miles. And at 172-point rigorous inspection. So y'all come check those out. Be careful today out there. It looks like it's a little damp. So if you got to, you know, have that little accident, don't forget about us. We got a great body shop back there. Gary Turner and the guys are professional back there, and we can do your insurance and everything back there. So just come see us at McConnell Automotive.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
You know, looking through the text line here, pretty interesting. I mean, you look at it, the poll, the latest poll that came out, Signal had a poll that showed Tuberville with like a 12% advantage over Sessions in this runoff. But looking at our very unscientific poll, but, you know, often quite close to what ends up being the truth, it's about 50-50 on our text line. People that are going to saying supporting Tuberville or supporting Sessions. But let me point out that is from a very engaged political audience. In a general audience, you got to think that, well, you could look back what happened in the primary. Tuberville got 10% in Mobile County, 12% thereabouts in Baldwin County. The real play here, now the rest of the state's a different story. The real play here is, I'm sure, getting the Bradley Byrne voters to come out. And I'm sure that, I mean, you heard Jeff Sessions court them and ask them for their vote. I have not heard that from Tuberville.
You know, it seems like the main sticking point here for whether voters in Alabama want to go Sessions or Tuberville is that recusal as Attorney General. And
he's explained it many times.
He has explained it. It's not up to snuff for a lot of people that refuse to vote for Sessions because of that. But I'm just wondering, you know, what would the numbers look like? Well, first off, Sessions would possibly maybe still be AG if none of this ever came up. But who knows what it would have been like if he hadn't recused himself, what would have happened from there. But I would just like to know the poll numbers if that had never happened.
Does it discount everything that made him incredibly popular before, even though that recusal thing has been explained, but all that stuff before and all the support for that, was that shallow out there? And I don't know.
I think so. It appears to be so.
Remember, the question I was asking there, and I've asked so many times over the months, is what happens if you say, okay, well, I'm going to do what President Trump wants done. Well, are you into the person, or are you into the Main Street populism, the message carried by President Trump? Because remember, he gets reelected in November, that's 4 years, and then he's done. Who's going to be carrying that on going forward? And that doesn't mean, I mean, Tuberville could do it, maybe. I don't know. But you know Sessions could do it. And Is this a movement that just ends with the second term of President Trump? That's one of the questions we'll ask Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, also the author of the Mad Jones trilogy, available on Amazon now. Hey, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
Morning. So, I mean, as a vessel for the, you know, somebody who says, I like everything that President Trump does, or I like most things he does, I want to see this change continue. You know, if he wins re-election in November, he's got 4 years and then he's done.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Who carries that message?
I mean, the senator is going to be there beyond Trump regardless.
Yep.
Look, I just saw it's now being reported by WKRG that a debate that Tommy Tuberville had agreed to participate in, he is now backing out of. He is not going to do a debate.
We just talked about that with Jeff Sessions. Yeah, we just had him on to talk about that. So he said that, you know, he's still ready to debate, but the Tuberville campaign is not in.
Yeah, and what is he afraid of now? Every time he comes down here, I hear stories, and I'm going to have to confirm one of them before I repeat the specific on the air because I heard it third hand. But I've also heard audio tapes of other times he's been down here. He shows an appalling lack of knowledge about South Alabama. I mean, he knows nothing. He doesn't know what our industry is. He doesn't know what our jobs are. He came down last year and started talking about what a great deal the BP oil spill was for us. I've got that on audio tape.
Yeah.
Having no idea that the people in South Alabama are furious about the rest of the state stealing the BP oil money. And now he won't debate? What? I mean, you know, this is a football coach. I thought he liked competition. What the heck is this?
Well, and that's one of the... Okay, this is kind of a weird question, or a weird subject. To some voters and people I've talked to, the lack of knowledge about policy and things that go forward is a feather in the cap for Tommy Tuberville. And I've debated with folks about that, because I'm like, wait a second, we need somebody who knows the policy and going forward. Like, and you may want to argue that Tommy Tuberville does know it, and then we'll have a different discussion. But those that say, well, yeah, he doesn't know that thing, that stuff, and that's a good thing. And I don't see the world that way.
Well, that's because it's completely illogical. It's counter to logic to say that you don't want somebody who knows anything to go represent you.
Well, that makes you a swamp creature.
Okay, even if he doesn't know the details of national policy, he should darn well know the state that he's running to represent. He should at least understand local issues, and you know, as far as the federal government affects local issues, he should understand what it is that the local people do for a living. He should understand that sort of thing, because he's going to represent us.
Maybe he's written that off because their polling probably showed beforehand what the actual polls showed, that he had very little support down here.
Well, yeah, well, here's his problem. He's going to face a runoff where in the five northern congressional districts in the state do not have congressional runoffs, but the two down in the south do, which means you'll have Jerry Carl and Bill Hightower and Barry Moore and
Coleman. Coleman.
Coleman. Yeah. All working to turn out voters in southwest and southeast Alabama, in the Wiregrass and down here in Mobile, Baldwin, and the counties just north of us. They're going to be heavy turnout, and those are the areas where Tommy Tuberville is weakest. There's not going to be as heavy a turnout in the northern two-thirds of the state, because they don't have other local candidates also working to turn voters out. So since he's ignorant about things down here, since this is where Jeff Sessions and Bradley Byrne did the best, he has a problem overcoming that. Even if the poll show Tuberville with a 3-point lead, Tuberville probably loses. If he stays with a 7-point lead statewide, maybe he wins. But a 3-point lead statewide does not take into account the turnout differential that's going to favor Sessions.
Quinn, I'm not sure how invested the president is in keeping Sessions out of office, but if he is hearing from his advisors the same thing you just said, do you think there's a chance that he goes back on Twitter or maybe in an interview on TV and pushes hard for Tuberville? And if he does that, do you think that will help increase turnout across the state?
I don't know that it increases turnout across the state. I think what it could do, more likely, is decrease turnout among people who were wavering between whether to vote for Sessions or to sort of sit it out. And if Trump really comes down hard, then they say, well, you know, I like Jeff Sessions, but Trump really doesn't want him, so I stay home. I don't think Trump's going to do that. I mean, you know, you never know what Trump's going to do. He does everything on a whim. But he's got to realize that, A, he got burned in Alabama twice in 2017. B, if he tries to stop Sessions and then Sessions wins, that makes him look really weak. And C, if he really comes down on Sessions and Sessions wins, all that does is it gives more ammunition to Doug Jones in the fall election against Jeff Sessions and makes it ever so, well, slightly more likely that somehow Jones can pull an upset and stay in the Senate, and he certainly doesn't want that.
All right, let's do this. Can you hold on during the break here?
Yeah.
Okay, run to the break, come back more with Quinn. That question, because you know you can vote however you like in the general election. If you're one of these people that's texted in, that's so angry with Sessions, would you vote for Doug Jones if Jeff Sessions was a Republican nominee? Plus, Quinn has some info on coronavirus we need to know down here. We'll talk to him about that when we come back. Thank you, Kane. 850 FM Talk 106.5. This segment of the show brought to you by LightStream. Hey, if you're like most of us, you carry a balance on your credit cards, and those cards come with high interest rates. So here's a move. Why don't you use the folks at LightStream? Easy to lower your interest rate and save with a LightStream credit card consolidation loan. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay. LightStream believes people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Listen to this message here back to LightStream from one of their customers. Needed to get a debt consolidation loan. Heard about this service on the radio. Checked it out and decided to go with it. Couldn't be happier. Easy to apply. Got the money right away, and the payment options were great. And yeah, you can get your money even as soon as the day you apply. Right now, you can apply to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. Now, the only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name, LightStream.com/Sullivan, SULLIVAN. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan. For more information. All right, to turn to our conversation with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. Also read his work in the Washington Examiner and his trilogy for sale on Amazon right there alongside of overly inflated hand sanitizer and toilet paper.
Yeah.
Well, the price is overly inflated on the hand. I don't know if they actually inflate the toilet paper or hand sanitizer, but the prices are up. You're not having any kind of price change or gouging for the trilogy right now because of coronavirus, right?
No, as a matter of fact, I might cut the price like Trump is about to cut the payroll tax as an economic stimulant.
But there, and that's a whole, gosh, that when I saw that yesterday, I wanted to get in a discussion about that. Yeah. But that's a whole nother show because
right.
You said you've got some information here on coronavirus that's important to us. What have you found out? What do you know? What are you going to pass
on? John Barry, the author and historian, his book has been cited all over the country in the last couple of weeks on the great flu pandemic of 1918. He wrote the definitive book on it, and got to be so well respected that he got appointed to the Federal Board of Experts on Infectious Disease. Anyway, he is an old, sometimes sparring partner and sometimes co-author of mine. We've worked on pieces, co-written pieces together. So I called him and talked to him yesterday about what he thinks on this coronavirus and what his insights are based on his massive research on the Spanish flu. And granted, this isn't the flu, but it's about how pandemics operate, et cetera. And the first thing is very practical. Rather than getting into all the details, the first thing is, he said, look, this actually could be quite bad. He said, there's a danger in panicking, but there's also a serious danger in underplaying this and in not worrying at all. But he said a very practical thing everybody should do is be very wary of public facilities, of public restrooms. He said, don't use them at all if you can avoid them. And if you do, use paper towel. You know, wash your hands a lot, but don't touch the faucets. Use paper towels when you're touching the faucets and stuff like that. But basically, be very wary and try not to put yourself in any position where you're around surfaces that can that the virus can take a hold of. But he also said this: people don't understand just how easily something like this can spread. He said that because it's new, nobody has a natural immunity to it. Nobody has built up an immunity.
Yeah, we talked about that. That's the danger, that it moves so quickly.
It moves so quickly. And because it doesn't show symptoms for at least 5 days, they think, you know, a lot of people can have it and transmit it before they even know they're sick. So don't take it lightly. Use every precaution. Pay attention to all the news. And then hope. But he said he really thinks that there's a chance that 40 to 70% of the population of the United States could get infected. That doesn't mean they all get sick.
Right.
40 to 70% could get infected with this thing. So don't laugh about it. Don't take it lightly. Pay attention to every bit of advice coming out from the experts.
Okay. Now, and I appreciate, you know, his insight here, but the not touching things in the bathroom, there's people like me, you know, for years I've talked about the foot jitsu that I perform in the bathroom. I can do most things in the bathroom using my foot without touching, you know, anything with my hand. And, I use the many towels to not touch things. I mean, that's safe to do all the time. That's a smart idea, I think.
To do all the time, but now particularly, I mean, most of the time you think, okay, I'll wash my hands, and then, of course, you realize after you wash your hands, you then go turn the faucet off on the sink. Well, then that completely undoes the good you've done by washing your hands.
That's what elbows are for, Quinn.
Yeah, well, so don't put your hand on the faucet. Grab a paper towel to turn off the faucet. Things like that even if you think you're being careful, you're not being careful. That's what he said is how this spreads by people sort of half, taking half measures, but not carrying through to the logical conclusion.
Quinn, during your talk here, did he say anything about large gatherings? We've already seen some music festivals delayed or canceled, and sports venues now saying that maybe fans won't be able to come in. Any talk on that and how that could limit the spread of the coronavirus?
Well, just like public restrooms, he basically said, you know, avoid places like that if you have any indication that you're at risk. Look, he said, just like the vice president said last night, this is clearly going to be, in terms of the death rate from it, it's going to be a lot higher for people over 60. But he said that doesn't mean that if you're under 60 and you catch it, you're not going to be miserable. He said this thing, because nobody has any immunity and because there's no treatment specifically for it other than, you know, treating some symptoms around it, he said if you catch it and get a full-blown case, even if you don't die, you're going to be miserable for a long, long time. So, again, use your common sense. If you're in sometimes you might want to be in a place with a crowd. Well, you know, keep your hands covered or keep your hands in your pockets or, you know, don't, if somebody's coughing, move away from them. Be alert is basically his message, because when he went down the numbers with me, the numbers could be really bad, and he does expect there to be hundreds of thousands of U.S. deaths before this is all over from this.
All right, well, give me no grief when you see me out and about wearing a hazmat suit, okay?
Well, no, but I mean, hundreds of thousands of deaths is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
And now, as a percentage of the people that get it, it's not a big deal. But in raw numbers, that's pretty darn big.
There you go. Quinn Hillier, we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Right, Mike Gallagher Show on the way. We'll be back in 3-4 Midday Mobile.